Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 49.
We had to turn the fan on because we have so many people.
So many hot people.
In Tay Studio. And we're not doing any of the segments. We have enough for a solid Shared Desk. I am your host, T. Morris.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
And right across from me...
Pip Valentine.
Where did you get those shoes? Those are shoes of doom!
Scary. This is gonna be good.
I love this part.
She better take back those shoes.
And as I said, we have a plethora of guests. So we're just gonna start all the way around here. So let's go on ahead and start. Guest number one, sign in.
Hi, I'm Piper J. Drake, also known as PJ Schneider, signing in for the first time as Piper, me.
You talked over your headphones. Because no headphones. There you go. There you go.
Do I need to retake that?
No, because we're just going to keep going, because we got a lot of people.
Yep, and my name is Matthew J. Drake.
What if I told you we can cure you and give you abilities most men only dream of?
I'd say that you sound like an infomercial, but not a good one, like Slap Chop, more shake weighty.
Okay, yes. And right over here, sign in.
Hi, I'm Lauren Scribe Harris.
What the heck is that?
Who puts broccoli on pizza?
That's it, I'm done.
There you go. And finally, get ready to groove, everybody. Finally, our last guest.
KT Brisky.
Take off to the great white north. Take off.
Rock and roll.
It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
You are hearing it right. Four guests in studio.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
It has.
Yes, and we had so many drop-ins to play that I ran out of theme. Okay. Yeah, so let's go on ahead and let's just explain why we have a full house, as it were. And check it out. Check it out in the quick corner. Yes, I know this is terrible for audio. Benedict, the jumpy little Benedict, he is all chilled out right here, just enjoying the company. Yeah, he's starting to fall asleep, actually, so that's a good sign. So hopefully
people listening to this are not.
Yeah, that's the aim. So first off, it was New Year's. We had great times. We were pouring out every emotion and thoughts and feels for all of us here tonight.
I don't know half of you half as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve.
And
it was a drunk hobbit.
We were all drunk hobbits that night. Good times, everybody. And so we're here. We are in 2016, first show of 2016, and
Day two.
And Matt Drake already has something special for the podcast.
Something crazy.
Talk to us about this. What are you making? What are you making us drink?
Well, I'm brewing something special for us right now as we're sitting around. But
Wait, you're brewing something? Please be careful about saying you're brewing something special.
You wanna play me hard?
Phrasing.
No, I don't.
Well, then you better nut up.
Phrasing.
Because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
Hey, phrasing.
So what exactly are you brewing? Let's be a little more specific.
Mm-hmm. So there's a company, it's called Capital Teas. There's a guy who's the CEO, and he didn't want to make money making tea, but somehow that worked out for him. It happened. And then he came up with a brilliant idea of, why don't I design what are essentially tea bags for beer?
So we're teabagging it.
Inappropriate.
I'm not seeing this happening. I really am not.
So yes, and we've actually, I have gone out and made sure to purchase, shall we say, middling lager, so that we don't ruin any potentially
good beer.
Is this
gluten-free lager here, my friend?
Oh, so it's gluten-free.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, that's great.
I was worried about that.
Because you know what? That's what we really care about. We've got to make sure that it's gluten-free.
But the teabags
aren't.
That's how
Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Gluten-free, everybody. America.
So, all right. I have a tea bag for everyone here. I'll just go ahead and pass the bag.
Wait, tea bagging as easier. You speak. Charming.
Oh, baby, baby,
cute.
Baby.
Inappropriate.
All right. Now, so we just dropped.
They're cute. They're nicely constructed out of little muslin, little something.
So we
very
just,
fine.
They're the silk tea bag.
So seriously, we just dropped this in as if this were...
I have zero directions. I maybe could have looked it up, but who does?
Oh, my dear God.
Oh, hold on. There you go.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. You take the string out, and then you pop it in there, and
it's
I'm presuming that you let it brew for, like, 3, 4, 5 minutes, or if you're like me with normal tea, you just leave it in. I know the horror.
Mine's floating. Horror.
No, that actually makes sense to me. So I'm just going to... So, you know, we'll just go on ahead and...
Teabag while you're talking.
Baby, come on.
Inappropriate.
I mean, what is... What?
Mine's getting foamy.
I know.
There's a chemical reaction we are observing here, and there's foam coming up around this.
Does it say what's in this bag?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to go through, we got
Genmaicha.
Okay. Roasted rice kernels add a slightly toasty and nutty flavor to the tea, resulting in a refreshing and clear liquor tinged with a slightly olive tint.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, so it's
going to
get green.
I am surrounded by idiots.
I'm really not sure what to make of this, but
we're going to let it soak for a little bit, are we?
Yeah, we're just going to let it soak, and you know, cuz that makes for great audio.
Absolutely bubbly.
Fantastic audio.
Oh no, finish your tweet. That's fine. Just give us a second.
Yeah, so you know, okay. So as this peculiar thing with tea is going on, actually it'll be ready for the end of the show. I'm pretty sure it'll be ready for the end of the show. Exactly. So why don't we first? I mean, obviously because it's 2016, we're not only looking back, but we're actually looking ahead. So why don't we go on ahead and let's start with our guests. She of many names.
Piper.
maybe not as many names as another friend of the show, Altercate.
No, Altercate has more names than I do.
She's got more names and some people have zip codes.
Well,
but,
so far, you might still get more names.
Yeah, always reach for awesome. I mean, I remember we actually had this conversation, Peach, that I'm going to say Peach because Piper J and PJ, it still balances out. So
it
Peach
was planned that way.
Right. I was going to say that we actually had this conversation. I said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea that you get another name. And as most people do with my advice, you ignored me and you went on ahead and did your own thing.
No, I thought long and hard about your advice because I did agree with you on certain counts. However, when it came to the concept and when my agent came to me and asked me to have more than one pen name, you know, I weighed the pros and cons of doing that. And what ended up happening was the final decision was made that I would have two pen names. One for PJ Schneider, writing sci-fi, paranormal romance, and steampunk. And one to reinvent myself as Piper J. Drake.
Yep!
So there you go.
Oh yeah. Writing is romantic suspense. So this year is the year of Piper J. Drake.
Yep. Ah, well, you know, I mean, but just so you know, anytime you want advice...
You're welcome. Shut up.
So there we go.
but I have to say, romance writers, I tend to have more alternate names than...
I have noticed that readers that I have met at book signings are actually very particular. Some read everything and they will openly tell you so. Others will tell you very politely, not in a mean way, I prefer only contemporary, or I only prefer paranormal, or, you know, so there
I can't wait to meet those readers, because I haven't met any of those readers.
They're usually pretty cool about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just very hard when you're at a signing, and you suddenly, you know, the reader stands there, is flipping through your stuff, this has happened to me before, and they go, oh no, I don't really read this crap, and then they just look at me like...
So we're good, right?
No, we're not, because, you know, you just called what I was saying crap.
Well, then move along,
yes.
Yeah,
but right. But you're saying... So you're
in
saying,
a polite
though,
way.
You're saying, though, that
droids
you're...
looking for.
Exactly. So, that's the Star Wars show. That's the one, show 48. Anyway, but going back to you, Peach, so this new Piper J. Drake, this new voice that's talking in your head...
This new alter identity,
yeah.
Indeed.
How is Piper J. Drake different from PJ Schneider? I know the differences, but how would our listeners know the differences?
Ah, well, I spent 2015 actually trying to establish that. So Piper J. Drake really does a lot more of the travel hijinks. I do travel for my day job, and I let that come out more with Piper J. Drake. I am a foodie, and so a lot of my foodie adventures when I'm traveling come out on Piper J. Drake. Piper J. Drake's brand has a lot of fun to be had in terms of travel tips, travel survival, travel whammies when I get stuck at airports.
You don't know anything about that, do you, Lauren?
No. you know, when it comes down to it, Piper travels and she eats, and she also is more interested in the health and beauty aspect. I have had a lot of fun playing with cosmetics, actually, because it's been an adventure having a makeup kit for travel, for my client sites, for my day jobs, and then sometimes when I'm traveling for writing and I'm going to be at a book signing, and I like makeup. It's totally okay to like makeup, and it's a lot of fun. And I follow a lot of YouTube bloggers. You know, YouTubers like Jen from Head to Toe is my favorite right now, as well as quite a few others. But I've been following them more, getting more ideas for a quick how to pack your travel makeup kit so that you're not carrying a suitcase.
See, I thought PJ Schneider was more the foodie, and that was where I saw most of your food stuff.
So the difference there is that PJ Schneider cooks. So that might be cutting it too fine. I have to rethink that. But PJ Schneider, the only thing that she posted was stuff that she made at home. Mm. She home cooked.
She's a homebody, that PJ Schneider. Yeah.
So what happens if PJ Schneider cooks for Piper J. Drake?
Damn.
I've done that.
What a tight spot.
Yeah, I just...
But mostly Piper J. Drake only posts food that she's out trying out new restaurants.
That makes
sense. She tags those restaurants.
That makes sense. So when you say... 2016 is the... Well, you say 2016 was the year of Piper J. Drake. Before we get into 2016, what about 2015? Who did 2015 belong to?
2015 was a transition year, right? So Piper J. Drake was just being born. I was doing a lot of writing. And PJ Schneider did first dip her toes into the world of self-publishing with Into the Aether, an anthology, steampunk short stories by PJ. So PJ has really transitioned to self-publishing for the time being. And... you know, kind of taking a step back to sort of have fun a lot more with short stories and novellas. Right now, there's not a novel in the future or in the works currently. Not to say that it couldn't come later, but 2015 was mostly short stories for PJ.
Right, and this was an intentional choice for PJ to make room for Piper, because upcoming you have
stuff. Oh my gosh!
We'll talk about the 2016 stuff in a second. So Matt, what about you? I mean, hi there. You've been sort of the silent partner in a lot of this stuff, because I know that with a lot of the events that we did together, not just in 2015 but earlier, you and I would pop up in many many photographs and things like that.
Yes.
And you were more or less, for the lack of a better word, we knew you as PJ's support staff. Probably some of her readers referred to you as the arm candy. But what about you? What was your 2015 all about?
My 2015 was actually also about transition. PJ and I now live together, and we did not before, so that's been a major life transition for us. Also, I have moved away from the duty that I was performing with the Air Force Reserves, which is a far more active role, and now I'm still a reservist but in a much more minimal capacity, and I'm looking to transition because I'm also at school. There's a couple other people.
He says it's a minimal capacity, but we all know the truth.
Welcome to level 7. Sorry, that corner was really dark and I couldn't help myself. I think there's a bulb out.
We all know the truth.
Yeah, that's right. He screws on the light bulbs for the Air Force.
And shield.
Well, I mean, it takes at least three of them.
And so you were saying it's that transition, has it been an easy transition? Has it been a hard transition? Has it been what kind?
He gets to see me with no pants.
Oh, you mean like this?
Hey, little boy, I've got no pants on.
That was the thing you talked over.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah.
High on helium, by the way. I just want to make that clear.
So apart from having an Asian in your house with no pants, I mean, how else would you describe your transition apart from pantsless?
The longest time period that I ever spent on the East Coast was 3 or 4 months at a stint. Most of the time I've either lived overseas or in Arizona or Texas or North Dakota. So that has been huge, just being an East Coast person.
Yeah.
Having to predict and deal with traffic.
Oh, he does not like the drivers.
There is traffic in other places in the world, but what happens is you go, oh, that's 30 miles away, but it's going to take me an hour and a half. I guess I won't go today.
Exactly.
That's not what happens out here. Everyone's like, yeah, it's 30 miles. I planned for a 4-hour trip. And
It
sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So now, hi, infrequent and should be more frequent house guests.
Hi.
See, these three are very frequent house guests, and we've been begging you to come up, and we finally...
Twisted your arm.
Well, no, we used Canadian bacon to get her
That's
up here.
Right, we lured her with Canadians.
So, Scribe! God!
Hi!
Oh,
hi!
I missed doing Smokey Riders because that was our Vikings blood. That was our thing.
Vikings blood bonding.
Our Vikings blood bonding by the fire, which eventually got to the hot tub, which the next morning was like, ugh.
Squeezing Vikings is so hard.
Yeah, it really is. Work. How was your 2015? Yeah?
Wait, you got blood out of squeezing Vikings? I would think something else.
Viking blood comes from Viking Vikings.
Wood. Have you seen Thomas Williford? He's a big boy. Anyway, so going back to year 2015, what was it like? Stop looking at our whiteboard of infinite doom. You know that this is the fifth book mapped out.
We
so
can
you
see
stop
the
that.
Entire
okay.
plot here, everyone. Yeah, we
Let's just start reading plot. Bullet points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Ghost Rebellion.
Stop.
Spoilers.
Stop.
All over and Scribe. Stop. Multiple colors.
Lauren?
All right, I'll say it. Wash dies. Thank you. Okay, so let's go on. So,
my 2015. I have gone back to school. So my 2015 was very centered around school and studying, but also producing lots and lots of words.
Words.
No. Words. Word herding.
Word herding. So I finished the first draft of a high fantasy series first book called Song of the Heretic. And I then finished and published the second book in the Mill Road Academy Exorcist novella series. And I finished the first draft of a contemporary fantasy book called Hellhound.
Okay. Okay.
And, so between that and starting a degree for a new career path...
busy.
I've been pretty busy.
You've been very busy, do you mind talking about the new career path, or did you not?
Yeah, that's totally.
Yeah, fine. Go ahead. You can lean forward too. Just lean a little forward.
Cool. So the new
that way I can see down your shirt. So
oh,
good.
Okay. Yeah, I see. He has ulterior motives here, but the listeners are not benefiting from my ample cleavage.
Nope.
So I'll go ahead. And
nope.
Explain
later. This is all for me.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. So, meanwhile, my wife over there, I know what she's thinking.
Inappropriate.
So go ahead.
Indeed.
So what are you studying? Because I keep getting it screwed up. Now, I know that a mutual friend of ours, not necessarily the podcast because we haven't had her on here yet, we know that Abigail Hilton works.
She puts people to sleep for
she
a living.
She puts people, not in that respect. She actually gasses them.
Yeah, she gasses
she
them.
She drugs them.
She drugs them, sure which makes her very popular at parties.
Yeah.
But what? But you're not doing that. You're doing stuff with EKGs, correct?
No.
That's why I'm in.
I use EKGs in my line of study, but I'm actually doing ultrasounds. But I do ultrasounds on the heart. So it's cardiac ultrasound or echocardiography.
I just imagine a whale. Ooh, is that what you do? Go up and use whale song?
No, the sound is all ultrasound. So it's above the range of human hearing for the most part.
So it sounds like this.
Nice.
There you go. Okay. Yeah,
it's the sound of silence.
I need
silence.
To know.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you use the same goop that they use for pregnancies?
Yes.
The exact same
ultrasound
stuff and just
gel.
Rub
yes,
it off?
Yes, it's
all.
Exactly the same.
It's also the same.
The only thing is that Lauren rubs it all over herself, which gets the heart going so they can hear it faster.
Okay, see, hit the...
Inappropriate.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah, no, it is the exact same goop. It is a hydrogen-based lube.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we lube people up.
You've
and,
seen this. I'd like to point out,
not for the
clarification, he's seen this lube because I've had to do vaginal ultrasounds.
Uh-huh.
You want to play me hard?
Praising.
Okay, where's the inappropriate?
Well, then you better
not
up.
Praising.
Because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
Hey, phrasing.
And look, I'm the one in charge of the drop-ins.
You want to run this ship? Yes. Well, you can't.
Yes, so. I could because I could yank the cords out.
Maybe. Okay. So.
But it is the exact same within the program
conducted
that I'm in.
Gel.
There is the regular general sonography side of things, which does the vaginal ultrasounds, the fetal ultrasounds,
right.
Ultrasounds on every other part of the body except for the heart. Because the heart is a moving organ.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It has a lot more phases of having...
It's working hard. It's working hard.
We have to study everything, including the walls of the heart, different segments of the walls.
That's very cool.
The coronary arteries and all that stuff.
That's very cool. So that's what you're going to be doing. Okay, that is very cool. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. That's very, very cool. And now going to our resident Canuck...
Making her, I don't know what.
Boom's yes. favorite house guest. Good golly, Boom's favorite house guest.
And,
yeah,
and
it's
respect.
True. It's very true.
Well, no. It's on. No, it's
back
on,
that up, T.
No, I can back that up because see, it's like okay, you two are like the aunt and uncle, but keep I'll this in that. Mind. Boom said to Katie Briskey once and made Katie kind of cry a bit, just a little bit.
Warmed her cold Canadian heart.
Yeah, she always talks about that cold Canadian coal that sits on her chest. Yeah, but you see, the problem is her kryptonite is our daughter, Sonic Boom, because Boom comes up to her and says, you know, if I had a sister, I'd want her to be just like you.
No, what she actually said was, I like when you're here because it's kind of like having an older sister. I never had an older sister before.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, you know, and she's thinking,
damn, we're in a tight spot.
Because she's got that image to uphold of, you know, the hardened heart. And she sees, she was a pile of goo. So you guys are the aunt and uncle. She's basically our surrogate daughter, and
so what you're saying is that we're old. That
yes,
occasionally arrives.
You're just the
something
the,
like
that. Yeah, the hobo cousin.
You're the hobo cousin. Yeah,
no, I'm the hick cousin because I'm southern.
Okay. That's right. You're the hick cousin
from the hills of Carolina.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
We're not quite sure how she's related to us, but she is somehow.
It's like it's like yes, Auntie Lauren is coming for a visit, and you know, Boom looks at us, and then. Okay, great, yay.
No, she loved it. Especially when you brought monkey butts.
Oh, yeah, when you brought monkey butts, that was a big
we
hit.
We still talk about the monkey butts.
All right,
butts.
We've kind of derailed here, so.
What was your 2015, Katie?
Katie, 2015.
Seems like 2015 was a transition year for a lot of people.
Wow, another transition year.
Yeah, it's one of those years where I feel like I didn't do much, but then I look back and parse everything else, and I really did. For me, it was a year of a lot of short stories because I was finishing up my thesis for Stone Coast.
Oh, uh-huh. Stone Coast, yes.
Yeah, so I was in my third and fourth semesters. Yeah.
Big ding.
So that's basically the second half of my thesis. So it was 125 pages of fiction.
Oh.
And I had opted to do short stories. So getting...
That's a lot of short stories.
Oh, real quick, you can also check this out on Amazon.com. You can do a search for it. This was Tales of a Tesla Ranger, edited by Val Griswold Ford and myself. This is the charity anthology that we did for P.G. Holyfield.
That didn't come out last year.
No, it didn't. But where I was going with this was that your short story that was in that anthology was part of that thesis.
Yeah, the story most likely to make you cry.
No, it did make me cry. I will not make any bones about it. I told you the story. I read the story. I was editing it. I read the story. I was the first one to read it. Yay me. I was at work. I read the story, and I was alone in the break room, which was good because I basically shut the laptop down, and I sobbed in my hands for a good 5 minutes. And then I took a deep breath. And then I had to go back out into the workplace. Yay,
and
me!
Somewhere, for no apparent reason, Katie's felt a little warmer.
Yeah.
Just for a moment. And then she went back to being cold at heart.
It passed. So,
but my thesis is called Tales... No, it's called Knights of the Traveling Spectacular.
Right.
It's a reference to the story, so if you read the story, you will understand my thesis.
Yep.
So putting that together and finishing that all up took a good amount of time. Who knew? An MFA program, right?
I just thought they handed those things out.
I know. But I graduate next week!
Yeah. Nicely
so I
done.
Return to Maine one last
transition
time.
No more, young Padawan.
Get lovely. My diploma. And as part of my career at Stone Coast, I also had my audio drama that came out last year. Most of this room was in it.
Yes.
I pinched it for you at one point.
So that would be.
That would be Coxwood History Fun Park.
Found at.
Coxwood History Fun Park. DartwordPress.com. Or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Yeah, so it was a 9-part audio drama. It was basically the museum podcast I wanted to do, had my museum let me.
And so you did it anyway.
And if my museum was set in Night Vale.
That's true.
My museum doesn't actually have ghosts and balls of evil or witches. Yeah.
Really? Are you sure?
I have a 5-minute clip of just that.
Of just me cackling.
Wow.
It's
your throat must have sounded. You must have been like, "Hello, many people think I'm Kathleen Turner, but I'm actually Lauren Scribe Harris."
My throat was actually fine. And
basically,
it
the audio. It was your abs.
My abs hurt.
Well supported.
But the fun thing is
that's your ticket. Wicked Abs of Steel.
Oh, man.
From cackling.
Wicked Abs.
Yeah, cackle your way to rock hard abs.
There we
Screw
go.
You, Jillian Michaels. Yeah. I can feel that right
you,
now.
Jillian I'm recalling. Michaels and, oh, Michaels. Wonderful, and your wonderful abdominal muscles.
And I'm watching her. I'm watching her abs work, and it's better than that that Ab Carver Pro, baby. I mean, that's really cool.
Watching
so,
her abs. Yeah. Wait,
that's what he was watching.
Yes. My abs are down here. Okay, so go. So you had the MFA. You're graduating next week, and so what else was happening in 2015? Or was that about it?
No, Coxwood came out. My novel Heartstealer came out.
Yeah, Heartstealer.
Victorian stuff. About half the short stories from the thesis are now have out on submission.
That's great.
And some of them have come back with, we like this one, we put it on second round.
Yeah.
Now, there was one other thing, though, and I'm taking full credit for this.
Oh,
there was this competition.
I don't know if I can talk about this yet.
Shut
your mouth.
Dial that back.
Redacted.
Super secret.
Welcome to level 7.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Or as
okay.
we say in New Zealand, shut your pie hole.
Shut your pie hole.
She'll tell us after the podcast.
Yeah, right? And then one more.
And the other thing, just kind of branching off Coxwood and museum work, at the museum where I actually do work and where there are no ghosts or witches or anything
honestly,
like that.
Honestly, they're not.
No. There is now, though, a very small fledgling theater program.
Yay!
Yay, because my colleague Blythe, who's been in various things of mine, including Coxwood, and I had the crazy idea that, hey, maybe theater would help people learn history better.
Ooh.
So 2014 was the year of us researching and putting together proposals and budgets and bluffing our way into letting us do it. So we were getting that off the ground, and it was really, really fun, and I think it went over quite well. At one point, our supervisor...
You got a sign, didn't you?
We got a sign.
Got a sign.
We had benches, so we had, like, an actual dedicated performance space. They want us to do it again.
And not only did they get benches, and not only did they get a sign.
And get the machine that goes bing.
And so
well, yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah, next year they're going for the machine that goes bing.
But no, like our supervisor had asked us to put together like visitor comments and visitor feedback. And the feedback was really, really good. One of my favorite, because a lot of our stuff is quite interactive as well, so we'll haul you up and give you a part and cue cards, but also a part in the unfolding drama.
Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah. This one guy, he's like, well, you know, it's a lot easier to understand the story when you're in it.
Yes.
You're like, thank you, sir, for validating.
Write that down.
2 years of work. Thank you.
I would actually say for us, 2015 was more of an accomplishment year.
Hold on. Did you just cut off Katie?
No, I didn't. She was all done.
Were
right?
you?
Were you?
She's got more.
Were you?
No, I was done.
No. Oh. She drank a lot of beer.
Well,
that was definitely an accomplishment.
See, that was definitely an accomplishment. We all drank a lot of beer in this room.
I'm double fisting right now.
There you go. So, but yeah, for us it was a year of accomplishment. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Well, what did we do?
There's this fourth book that came out.
Yeah. Yes, that was back in March.
Yeah, you remember what it was called, right?
Yes, it was Time and Conspiracy, you jerkwad.
And it was that moment when you were put on the spot.
It's like, and then we picked up an award. Well, I picked up the award.
Yeah, you picked up the award. I was
actually, to clarify, she fabobbled one award.
Yes.
But caught it midair.
I did. Yes. And managed not to pierce it through my hand because it's also a pointy award. Oh. I could have ended up with it impaled on my palm.
But
we
she said
how the Art Lovers Award is actually a decent murder weapon.
Yes,
it really is. Yeah, it really is.
So that was in Dallas. Then we finished off the writers, social media for writers, and
yep.
got that published. Did the audio book, wrote an additional Periscope chapter.
Yep.
Did a webinar through Writers Digest.
That webinar was a gas. We had a great time at the webinar. Yeah.
Personally, I finished off Immortal Progeny, the book that had been hanging around my neck for a couple of years.
Good on you, girl.
Sent that off and. Yeah, I think that was it. Oh, you know, do podcasts and stuff.
Well, we spoke at the MRW chapter as well.
That's right, we did. We went to a good few conventions. We
spoke at the MRW. We went to New York, did the Writer's Digest. The Writer's Digest event, which was an education in itself. but I will say this isn't really an accomplishment, but it was still very, very cool. While we were in New York, a friend of mine, a buddy of mine from high school, I have not seen him in nearly 30 years, and I happen to get in touch with
him. How is that my accomplishment?
No, our accomplishment.
No, we're separate people, too.
So I'll let you
keep
have
telling yourself that.
My accomplishment.
Who got the top billing on the social media for writers? Okay,
that's true.
Yeah,
who caught the award?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. I know. I know.
You gotta be kidding me. For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot.
So yeah, okay, fine. I mean,
we went to New York and had a good time. And
we had a
saw
good
your
time.
Friend Al.
Yeah.
Play and he and you cried.
I did. I cried a little bit.
Again,
Al cried
he cried.
A little bit.
I'm sensing a theme for T's 2016.
I'm a big man old
tears.
Baby. I'm a big old baby.
Man tears.
Yeah. I mean, it was. And then of course we also did this. We also did the whiteboard.
Yes. We
that
did
was
not.
A project.
We did not manage to finish the Ghost Rebellion in 2015, but
no.
And near as.
But that, oh,
near as. It's practically done.
But the reason why we didn't finish the Ghost Rebellion in 2015 is because we had this other thing, this other big accomplishment, was that Kickstarter.
Oh yes, the
that
Kickstarter.
Amazing Kickstarter. Holy crap.
That was fun to watch.
That was insane to watch.
We
like,
funded everything that we wanted to fund.
We funded everything
and
we wanted to fund.
And then something that you didn't want to.
And yeah. One thing that I didn't want to do.
The password is pineapple. Pineapple.
Well, we'll get to that in 2016.
Yeah,
because
we are.
Basically, in 2015, we made the money, and 2016, we're going to spend it.
Now we're going to spend, well, and also, we have to write. 2015 was a way better year than 2014. Oh, and I'll also say this, another nice little accomplishment for 2015. I was at my job for over a year.
Yes.
Much better than 8 days.
Much better than 8 days, as 2014 started off with. So that's... Now, before we get into the whole 2016 thing, I'm going to...
Can we look at our tea?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's look at the tea. Let's
the tea,
let's go ahead and let's look at the tea.
Slightly olive.
Has
it changed
noticed,
the color?
I always thought I was kind of pink. Oh, you're talking about this, the beer the beer tea. Here
yeah.
We go, the beer tea.
I thought we were the only one that did the tea jokes.
All right, so...
Not you.
The punny dad
well,
joke.
See, now here's the thing. Am I supposed to see a change in the color?
I have no idea.
It said slightly olive.
It tastes a little...
But it smells...
Buttery? Nutty?
All right, well, here I go.
I definitely smell the popped rice.
I can smell the beer.
Yeah,
that's not a good thing for me.
It's almost like a popcorn-like smell.
Yes,
that's good.
It definitely has like a kettle corn, popcorn type, yeah.
Are we actually going to try it?
I don't know what this face is over here.
I just did.
Is that a good face? What is that?
What is that face? Oh!
People, there's a
I'm drinking popcorn!
Oh, okay, if it's popcorn, I might like it.
Right,
I bring you fine beer from everywhere, Matt, and this is what you bring me? No, no, I will hear nothing out of you.
First, I must deal with treason within the ranks.
It was a novel,
two renegades.
You're talking over the Robins again. That was a cue.
Tolerance from the trainers. They will soon indelibly.
Hold on a minute. Just sit there. I'll tell you when I'm done with the drop-in.
Oh, my God, I am surrounded by idiots.
Now you can talk.
Oh, my God, I am surrounded by idiots.
Stop hitting that. Okay, I like it because it doesn't
it
taste
like
beer.
Liquid
there we
popcorn.
Go. All right, we're skipping tea. So we got a vote from Pip. Is
I do not usually like beer.
Positive.
I'm going to try another. Hold on.
All right.
See, I didn't spit it out.
It that
takes
is good for you. Yeah.
It has well, taken it, down the
inappropriate.
I still think that you would like lambics, Pip.
Yeah, I think
I know,
it's
I know that no. Heather Welliver and I drank all of the lambic that you had.
Actually,
yes, but
actually,
you're welcome. But I think that you would enjoy them.
Actually, she did like a lambic. Dogfish makes a lambic, or a lambic-esque, a Scandinavian-style beer called Vasir, and it's spelled K-V-A-S-I-R, Vasir. And Pip loved it. Pip loved
yeah,
it.
I could drink this.
I think
what a resounding endorsement. That's that infomercial that we were talking about at the beginning with my drop in. It's like,
I could drink it.
If you got $20, why not?
No. What do you guys think?
It's just so unusual.
It smells like popcorn.
It does smell like popcorn.
Or popped rice.
It
smells like rice cakes.
In my ever unfolding quest to expand my palate and open myself to new beer experiences, I appreciate it. And I think it's improved the taste of the lager.
Yes, I don't like lager.
Okay, I will say that.
I appreciate your mature and well thought out reasoning why me bringing a gift to share with everyone.
No, but I said I appreciate the gift that you brought to share with everyone.
And I appreciate that you appreciate it.
Oh, dear.
This is a beautiful moment.
I'm having another sip. This is like a third sip of beer.
I'm caught between two mountains of appreciation.
Have you tried this, Lauren?
I don't beer.
Well, I don't beer either.
I promise.
I couldn't even
rice cake.
Try some of this.
Oh, God. Try the rice cake.
Sure.
We're going to get my spitting beer everywhere.
All right.
No, just take a tiny sip.
Just pass the mic. Not onto the mic, but...
Ugh,
no.
Lauren, I'm just gonna. You can't hear this, but
you're welcome. Shut up.
So there you go. Probably know which one
is
I played.
There, are there different kinds of these eggs?
Yes, yes, there are. So this is the
Kylo Ren face bucket.
Kylo Ren's face bucket is empty.
Oh no, Chaser. Oh. So yeah, this is specifically the lager. And then they have one for different styles of beers.
Interesting.
Because like lagers are not typically people's favorites, so no. I thought, you know, if I butcher a lager, no one's gonna get too upset.
That is true.
About
that
it.
Is true. If you had done this to like a Dogfish 90 or something like that, I'd be really upset.
No, he specifically went to the supermarket to get something.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
that's fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's no. Look, I don't mind being experimental with beer, but that's just. It's not that it tastes bad. I mean, I've had bad beer before. This just tastes wrong. It tastes odd wrong. Not bad wrong, just odd wrong.
Right.
It's better than a lager. It's better than the actual lager, but it's like drinking popcorn. And I don't drink popcorn.
Well, if you were watching a movie right now, if you were just absentmindedly sipping
Star Wars.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, if we were watching The Force Awakens, I'd just be like, "Oh yeah, sure. Go ahead." Woohoo. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. But I, as a tea drinker, I'm a bit disturbed that I'm bagging this drink. Tea bagging this beer.
Oh, yeah,
I'm actually tempted to dropping it in and out, popping it in and out, getting some wave
at. Do you know?
Inappropriate.
What, do you know what that is?
Yes, of course I do.
I'm writing that into a romance novel.
Oh my gosh!
Wow. And you see,
in a lager?
Yeah, and
I'll invent Pip, I'll that's why, a lager somewhere.
That's why. That is why. When Paige is around, don't be dropping the innuendos. She's ruthless.
You shall not pass!
Whoa! Oh, we're cutting you off.
It was a ginger ale.
Yeah.
She forgot to say off. Fly,
and,
you
but
fools.
But like my father before me, not a drop was spilt.
Oh, dear God.
Well trained.
So before we get to the whole what we're doing with 2016, let's talk about these transitions because... You know, it's great to be talking about all the different stuff that we've accomplished or we transitioned into, but I'm going to start with Katie and work our way around. What do you feel like helped you accomplish these transitions? What
us. Was it? It was us. We did it all. I'm
God,
sorry.
Woman, jeez.
Three sips of lager, I'm down.
Man, man. And I'm the one. I'm the one who has to get cracked down. Okay, fine. Katie, please. What was it that helped you make these things happen?
Honestly, it was a lot of the prep work that I did in 2014. It was the foundation that I'd laid the year prior, because I always knew that 2014 would be a year to build.
Do you have any like planning tools or anything that helps you, keeps you on track or anything like that?
I have a million whiteboards.
Yeah. The cult of whiteboard.
Yeah.
It's
Eric Buchanan, right?
Yeah,
he's our lord and master.
He's the Gandalf of the whiteboard.
He's the Gandalf. He's Gandalf the whiteboard.
for those few people out there, well, here in America, who may be unfamiliar with Eric Buchanan.
He's good people.
He's good people and a fantasy writer in Canada. You can find him at ericbuchanan.ca.
Ah, look at, oh, CA. Ooh, no more buttered popcorn for me, mates. I'm off to play the grand piano with my .ca. Well, okay, so...
That was not me that said that, Eric.
No,
the other thing that helps me is I have a ritual that I do every New Year's Day, and Lauren and I did it this year.
It involves these odd dolls and sewing little baby hearts into them.
That's not candles, but...
That's
one I'm kind of wondering where you guys disappeared to.
Now, if there's blood on my new carpet from sacrificial lamb...
What we do is we get an 8.5 by 11 paper and a Sharpie.
Uh-huh.
And you write down what do I want to have accomplished by this time?
Nice.
Next year.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And then what do you do with this piece of paper?
I pin it to the bulletin board above my desk.
Ah,
so
that's
I can
nice
see
idea.
It every day.
That's great. That is
and
a great
And it's not anything super hard or fast. It's just a rough idea of the shape I want my year to take.
Fair nice. Enough. Visualization.
Yeah. Helps, okay. And then I can kind of keep track. So if it's like October and I've done one thing and I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Hurry up.
Yeah. So they're measurable goals, but also fairly vague at the same time. So one of my goals, for example, is get Heartstealer out somehow.
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 Drop it from like a pair, you know, get carrier pigeons to deliver it to people. Something
drop
like
it
that.
Like it's hot.
Yeah. And I got it out somehow. I ended up self-publishing it.
Yeah.
You guys did help with the layout on that. And then there are things that it was just like, folklore project, which in my head was like everything from I need to write it, I need to research the grants, I need to talk to my actor, but it was just self-contained in one heading. So having that to keep myself on track through the year I find really helpful.
Nice.
And I'm sure we'll talk about this in the next segment, but yes, Lauren and I escaped actually down here to the office, and we took our Sharpie and our papers, and we planned out 2016.
Just want to make sure that nothing got erased.
I wouldn't touch that.
I'm just kind of wondering what that little almost vibrating...
Oh, you'll find out about that.
I thought it was spasming RT.
I know as a romance writer, you're looking at that going, I think I know what that is. But it's not.
A treatment for hysteria.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's not it. That's not it. No.
I think Matt was going to ask Katie a question,
Oh, really? Was? Yeah, go ahead.
Katie, I was curious, when you actually approach and start doing, start accomplishing actively those overarching ideas, do you then break it down and also put that up on the pinup board or the whiteboard or whatever
that
it is?
That doesn't get written down explicitly.
Okay, so they're just sort of thematic.
Yeah, like general idea of the projects I want to do this year.
Okay.
So when I get to December 31st, well, in this case 2015 for last year, it's like, okay, this is what I want to say. I did this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to get a day planner this year to focus on breaking stuff down into more discrete steps because I'm starting to get to the point of I can't keep it all in my head.
You've got
to
jump.
I know, the PJ.
I'm glad I'm
Piper.
I do them actually on one of my many whiteboards at home, the other one directly above my desk. I kind of have a section broken off into short term, mid term, long term.
Okay.
I don't update it as frequently as I should. I tend to accomplish things, feel good about myself, and then not change the whiteboard. But that also is a good backup system.
So what about you, Lauren? You have gone through some transitions as well. What have you been? What are the tools that you've been using? What's been keeping you moving forward?
Well, I do. It's funny you say you wanted to get a day planner because I do have a day planner that is my life. And it has both a month section and a weekly section, and all of those have lots of space to write. But what I liked about this particular planner is that it's across from the month section opposite, on the opposite page, it has several columns of to-do list blank, and I actually parse out each segment for things I need to do for school is one list. Things I need to do that month for writing is another list, and things I need to do for audio is a third list. I actually forgot to mention any of the audio work that I did this past year, which was significant. I recorded two audiobooks, and...
For other people.
For other people.
Yeah, for other people.
And was also involved in two audio dramas, including Coxwood History Fun Park.
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah. So
people can find you on Audible as well.
Yes.
And ACX in case they're looking for audio work.
Yes. They can find me on Audible, ACX, and my website, which is laurenbharris.com.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yep.
But I...
So you're a day planner.
I'm a day planner, but I also have a project notebook. So my project notebook tends to be every project that I have then gets broken down into steps, component parts, chapters, word counts, because I am a plotter, not a pantser. So I plot
I'm
out.
Sorry.
Easy
it.
There.
I plot
my
out.
Fight in the corridor later.
Oh, hey, yeah. I'll have to up, Lauren.
All right.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. The Canadian and the Carolinian will take down the Kiwi. There will be lots of
that's what they all say.
I was going to say it was I was going to say it was the Canuck, the Hick, and the classy lady. That's what I was going to say. Wow.
You're just
there.
Trying to get into my good books again.
Trying to gain some of those brownie points.
No, baby, I'm trying to get in your pants.
I like how I'm the Hick.
You're a wonderful Hick.
But you're a wonderful Hick. If you visit us more...
I don't even have a Southern accent.
No,
that's true.
Are you like
an American accent?
No, I've traveled. I've lived all around.
That's true.
Yeah,
y'all,
true.
y'all. Okay, so
anyway,
so that's how you're getting that the day planner is what's working for you and how it's getting it done.
The day planner and the project notebook.
Nice.
Both of those things. So I obsessively break things down into check.
Is there a specific kind? I mean, are you one of the is it the Covey? Is there
Robin Covington? Is that
nope, that's an author. She's an awesome author. Ding that.
But no.
Right. No,
I'm talking about the
Erin Condren planner.
I do not have the Erin Condren planner. I looked at those. There's not enough space to write. So
wow.
I actually,
oh, but they've done redesigning. You should check it out.
I have checked them out. The one that I actually like the best is one that I got from Target because it is a lengthwise and not up and down. So there's a lot more lateral room to
That's one of the ways that they've redesigned.
Yeah, and so I really like that in the current planner that I have. And that one also follows a school year timeline.
Oh, okay, good.
Which is useful for me.
That's good.
Rather than a January on timeline. So that's useful for me for breaking down all of my schoolwork as well.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. What about you, Matt, with all the stuff you've been dealing with? I mean, do you have any...
School...
Besides, of course, making popcorn beer, what are the tools that you're using for your transition, during 2015?
And writing stuff,
because you're now starting.
Just outing you as a writer.
Yeah,
Matt.
Just drop that bomb. What just happened?
Yep.
All right, so something that I did not mention in my 2015 was that I went to, and you should probably ding this, the Writing Excuses the Writing Excuses Cruise.
Yep.
That you did. And that
left me inspired. I attended as a plus one, and then they allowed me to sit in and have discussions both at dinner and at lunch and late at night playing board games with authors and people who are planning to become authors and who are seriously on their way.
So you went in as a plus one and you came out as an author.
Wow. Yeah.
Let's sum that up.
That is quite the claim, but I like it. I'll own it. Yep. Yes.
Very nice. Very nice.
A writer is someone who writes.
But now, again, what is it? What are the tools, apart from a computer, what are the tools that are helping you make these transitions?
I'm glad that I get to go before Piper on this, because we're both using Habitica, which is basically Habit RPG.
Yes.
You...
What's the website again?
Habitica.com.
And it's an app.
It's Habit Ica.
It has an app.
Yes.
It has an app.
It is an app. It's
website.
It's for free. You know, you can support them if you want, but you can also just pick it up and start using it. So there's dailies, things that you have to do every day, or you can set a schedule like I do this every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then you also have other things which are positive or negative habits. So one thing that I don't do that I should is shave every couple of days.
Yes, please.
Because my goodness, it is so nice to not have to do that every day, because I was one of those types who had to do it twice a day if I didn't want to get yelled at. And my face is so happy now that I don't have to do that. So sometimes I go 4 or 5 days and I look in the mirror and I go, who is that guy?
And then you start to wonder why I have these gouges in my epithelial tissue.
You poor baby. So using that and also Excel, Google Sheets to just kind of track where my time has gone. I tried to use out an app called Toggle, and I don't really use that efficiently. It's essentially a timer to let you know how long you're on each different thing.
Gotcha.
And then I also have installed an app on Chrome which force quits and erases my history if I have any tabs open when I go to bed.
Wow, yeah. That's hardcore.
I recommend this because I would just accumulate. I'm like, I'll read that later. I don't feel like reading it now. I'll read it
later. Who would that be? Who would that be in this room?
And it saves you time.
You're welcome, shut up.
Saves you both time and mental fatigue. Like, without even knowing it, you're making the decision not to read that, even though you see it there and you remember, and it wastes time. So I'm...
Stop looking at me. Stop looking at me. Stop. Jeez.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us.
What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Okay, so how about you, PJ? Piper.
She had many names. The alter identities. The day job, which is common between all of them, is something where part of my skill set is being a project manager. So Microsoft Project is one of the things that I have for the day job. And yes, I do love Gantt charts. Get off my back. All right. I actually had another project manager look at me and go, you know what a Gantt chart is? And I'm like, why are there project managers in this world that don't know what a Gantt chart is? Someone save me. But that's for day job. And what I was finding, especially in 2015, was that I was relying so much on electronics because I travel 85 to 90% of my time. So I have any.do, which is an phone app that also syncs with the web for my to-do lists for day job. And what I find is I also have a personal board of to-do lists to remember to do on the fly. For that, I can't carry a whiteboard with me. I can't
really?
Of the time. Too bad.
Imagine that. I actually tried one of the travel whiteboards, the ones that fold up into little bits and pieces. Yeah, it didn't work out for me. Because I would open it all the way up at an airport gate and then have to quick close it again and people ran by. It was weird. And I ended up taking a lot of my electronics. You know, so I use Scrivener, and Scrivener is backed up to the cloud for me. Mm-hmm. So I can open it from multiple places and multiple laptops, right? So I do not use my day job laptop for writing, but I do have a writing laptop, which is a MacBook Air.
Mac.
That's my first Mac.
Ugh.
Yeah. You watch your step. You watch your step, Drake. You watch your step.
I'll back you up too, Matthew.
Yeah.
No. So I went to Mac people. For the writing laptop. Normally, when I'm home, I'm on Alienware, which is still PC. So I use Any.do. I use Scrivener to write, and I use Scrivener to plot as well. I am a hybrid amongst the pantsers and the plotters here in the fact that I plot at a very high level, and then I pants each chapter, and I go back and I revise my plot because my chapter took off someplace I didn't expect it to. So a lot of my planning comes from that. Yes, I use Habitica. But I also am a day planner, and the reason why I started doing day planning
is because they use washi tape.
Yeah,
that's basically. The entire reason.
Stickers too. They're pretty. Stickers and washi.
Who doesn't like stickers?
Stickers and washi. Happy.
Me too.
Exactly.
I will
so
back
I have
you up on that.
I have an Erin Condren day planner, but I recreated Mission's mission board, which is another planner brand. They have this mission board that you can do for like the month. So I kind of recreated that manually, and I printed out and I put it in my Erin Condren planner on a little insertable dashboard, and then I also use it to track my writing deadlines, of which there were many in 2015.
I heard the saga of this.
There was madness involved. I use a day planner for my writerly timelines because it makes me happy. Using the electronic gadgetry really kept me organized, but I would get stressed.
Yeah.
Well, and
go ahead.
No. Go.
I just wanted to poke in and ask, because it seems from my perspective that you have more or less fulfilled within yourself that old Apple versus PC commercial. So when you work day job, you are working on the PC. But when you pick up your Apple laptop, your MacBook Air, you're like, now I am being creative. Now I am writing. And it lets you transition from one thing to the other.
Suck it. Suck it, Drake. Macs are better. All right, so.
It's priming a space, kind of. The idea of priming a certain workspace for a certain type of activity.
Yes.
It's like how they say not to do work while you're sitting in bed, because then it'll be harder to fall asleep in your bed.
It's your desk.
That area is primed for work, so I have actually a schoolwork desk and a writing desk.
Nice.
Since I don't have a static area ever. Not even my own bed. I actually do that in hotel rooms. That's actually excellent. I usually set up my day job laptop on the desk area in the hotel
room. I've done that before as well.
Use my writerly laptop like on the couch or on the bed, just somewhere else in the hotel room, just so that I have a difference in space. And the desktops of the laptops themselves look very, very different. You're right.
So
now,
okay.
I actually have another question.
Well, actually, I want to table that. Because right now we are nearly at an hour. And so here's
what
we're here
to 2016, right?
So here's what we're going to do. No. This is what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up the show. And I'm going to, because while you guys were chatting, I set up a brand new soundboard. We're going to go on ahead and we're going to do a second show.
Numero dos.
Yeah. We're going to do episode 50, and 50 is going to be 2016.
We're going to make it. That sounds like a good idea.
That sounds great. Okay. So, but you know what? Thanks, everybody. Time flies when you're looking back, and the next show, we're going to look forward. So until that show, which will be seconds for us, but a couple weeks for our listeners, don't forget that the Share Desk is a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike 3.0 United States license, and also in Canada and New Zealand, and even in Thailand. And you can find out more at creativecommons.org. You can find out more about what we do at tmorris.com or at
pjballantine.com.
Don't worry, in the second show, I'll give everybody a chance to pimp. You can also send us voicemail at 703-791-1701. Please leave us a voicemail, because we like getting your voicemail.
Tell us about your tea and your beer.
Yeah, that just sounds icky. Just icky.
Drink Mars drink.
Inappropriate.
So thanks for listening. We will see you in the next show. All of us will see you in the next show. And so enjoy the ride.
We'll catch you later.